Yeah, man, I had some weed nugget on my face there. Hey now. You know, it's the sticky icky, when you break it apart, especially these new batches. When you get the fresh batch, it's still got the stickiness. And then you break it up, put it in the bowl, maybe get a little scratchy on the face there, and then a little nugget stuck to the old beard ski. Oh, yeah.
You know what I had stuck in my face the other day?
You know this is a kid's show first, right? That's a... Hey, now.
Fucking a glob of M&M with vanilla ice cream, dude. I had to rod the floor drain at a Culver's. And it was the floor drain right underneath the ice cream machine.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to, every fucking 5 seconds, I had to stop and, like, go like this. Because the guy would come with the fucking, like, mixer cup or whatever with, like, ice cream and whatever toppings. And he had to put it in this thing that would, like, you know, blend it up.
That's right, man.
And the one kid who kept doing it, he would pull it down while the thing was still spinning. And it would just spray whatever residue was on there, like, all over my face.
Em and I were at a party not too long ago, and we're with a group of people. You know, snacks were being had, a lot of drinking going on. And a guy that we are acquainted with, you know, was chatting with a gal, and she said, you got something on your beard there. And he immediately said, is it cheese? And Em and I were like, that's the first thing? Like... There's no the immediate. Is it cheese? And you know what's crazy is it was a string of cheese, you know, melty cheese. So he knew automatically. But this is actually a while back. But every time we hear of the guy or see him, we immediately snicker to one another and say to each other, "Is it cheese?" The cheese in the beard, though, and I've tried to explain this to Emma, though, when you rock the facial hair, you think you could predict what you could find in the facial hair, but it's impossible. There are so many different crazy things that can find themselves into your mustache or into the chin, especially, right? And especially if you're a guy like yourself, Mike, in the Chicagoland area, I imagine all sorts of different types of foods find their way into
Sometimes I come home with a whole sausage in there. You know?
And a little Mexican man hanging to it, right?
That's only if I drive through Home Depot's parking lot.
Those damn migrants, man, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
The squeegee boys in Colorado, dude, you can't get rid of them. Even you get the windshield wiper going and there's a few of them stuck to it. And then they fly off. Right. Adios. Not a lot of squeegee boys. They have told the migrants arriving in Colorado to vamoose. We talked about it briefly. I thought I had something up on here. Maybe it disappeared accidentally. Either way, How is the migrant situation going on in Chicago? I had the theory going on along for towards the end there because there was a lot of sensationalism about it. I'm finding weed all over my body. I just got I picked another nugget off of my. What's going on here, man?
Yeah, weed goes in the bowl. You know?
Yeah, I just like to light it off my body. Freebase it, man.
Hot knife.
I've been thinking that the whole migrant thing was kind of sensationalized on purpose to be politicized and to rile up the base. And it's the news about it has clearly been washed away because of the protests. But the second everybody stopped talking about the migrants on the news, no more migrants. Like, I don't have to deal with the squeegee boys anymore. It's kind of like
we still got them.
Weirdly manufactured in so many ways. I swear to God.
Yeah. Oh, we got them everywhere. Home Depot is insane right now.
Yeah.
They're like setting up little villages in these fucking parking lots. I swear to God. And yeah, you go to the right place in Chicago, you'll see them. They've taken over whole areas.
It's possible we've just moved them to a part of the city where I don't have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah, that's probably what they did. They find, you know, empty warehouses and stuff.
All right. Well, at least they're finding shelter. You know.
A lot of people are right, though, in Chicago. It's crazy that, like, I forgot what the number was, but there's, like, it's like a, it's like 10 times the population of homeless, and you guys found shelter for all these people. But we still have all these homeless that you don't know what to do with. Nowhere to put them. Nowhere to put them. It's kind of crazy.
We had to move, I know, a big group because they had to open up our Six Flags Great America that we have downtown. And they were all camping out in the parking lot there during the off season. So now they're gone. Oh, I did have something. I have a clip on it. That's what it was. All right, cool. I led myself into my own clip without even knowing it, folks. This is how production crew's on it.
I hope it's Eric Adams.
They actually dip in around all the cities. My boy here, Mike Johnston, makes an appearance. And I can't remember if they toss in a little Mayor Adams. He is our favorite. Lord knows Mike has a clip of him somewhere on his soundboard there. I can only imagine.
I lost my notes. Oh, there it is.
We have no more room in the city.
Yeah, no vacancy, man. There's no... Get out of here.
Don't even come here for vacation. No room.
That's right. We got no more room. Yeah, that's what we're saying here in Denver. We got no room. I'm just going to jump to it because we have some other crazy clips to get to, especially the Cuomo clip, which I feel like people will be talking about more heading into the week. But this is for fun because we're all experiencing the migrant situation and we got no more room.
Tonight, major U.S. cities running out of ways to house a constant flow of migrants.
I want to ask people, where do we go? Where do the families go?
You can go back home. Actually,
yeah, feel free.
You know, it's crazy. I can point you in the direction. Just the general direction.
Just in the early hours, keep the sun to your left. And in the evening, keep the sun to your right. And keep walking that direction. You will hit your home.
Como se dice south? Go south. Was that Italian?
I think so. Okay. There's all kinds down there. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, man. Oh, I think I... All right, here we go. There's more to go here.
In Seattle, asylum seekers now sleeping in tents in this encampment after King County ran out of money to house them at a local motel.
For all the audio listeners here, we have a migrant talking about how it's not fair that they got a camp outside because they came here illegally, man. Where's my free house? I was promised checks and free housing.
And you're supposed to be claiming asylum, meaning you're like in fear of your life back home.
Right.
Would you rather be safe in a tent in a park in America or go back home and fear for your life, apparently?
Yeah, it's a good choice. You know, and you're getting free tents, at least, from the government. Man, we don't care about you if you're born here, dude. Like, the homeless, the homegrown homeless that we have in America are the ones getting totally shit on with this crisis.
That's the worst part. That's the worst part.
We're stepping over our own homeless to give handouts to people who are here illegally.
I mean, the one by the hall, there's that warehouse. People show up every day, and then in this median in the road, they set up this like table and food, and they're just handing out meals to these people. Imagine you're a homeless guy who's been homeless for 20 years on the streets. You're just sitting there under the fucking viaduct looking at them like, oh, where's my meal? You know?
Homeless guy? I'm a homeowning taxpayer. I'm thinking about going to Mexico and then walking through the border and collecting some free checks, baby. Come on, it's deserved.
Seriously.
Where's my free check? Biden's handing out free money to doctors and lawyers who took out student loans and people who are crossing through the Rio Grande. That's who's getting free money.
But I tell you, nobody's looking up for the middle class. Nobody's looking up for us. And he said it the other day at his speech. We are trying to grow the economy from the middle out and the bottom up. Like, no, you're not. You guys, the middle class is shrinking under your rule.
Absolutely, man. But this is building back better. I can only imagine, right?
Yeah. Look at the long term.
This was the plan from day one.
But, ¿y si se entiende?
Adriana Mendina and her young children among more than 100 people who were forced to pack their things. She says the encampment will just be the latest temporary housing her family will move into since they arrived from Venezuela.
Mis hijos y todos los niños de la comunidad.
And they didn't interpret it with a vocalist, so I'm going to interpret for you, for our audio listeners. I am complaining, and I'm ungrateful for being here and receiving all your freebies. I'm still complaining more, and I'm ungrateful. I'm very ungrateful.
Washington State has upped the budget to help migrants to $32 million, but that money won't be available until...
Yeah, can I get some, I don't know, you? I had to pay you taxes this year.
I
like,
know.
What the fuck, man?
You took $20,000 from me. Can I just get a, just pay less this year? I'm not even asking for money. Just steal less from me and give it to them. You know what I mean? That's all I'm asking for you, is just steal less from me this year. Please.
July. So right now, cities like Seattle are left to cover the costs.
I want folks to know that there's a crisis here.
And that's a problem seen coast.
You voted for this crisis. You welcomed it with open arms. Seattle, Denver, same place. No difference, man. You said we declare ourselves sanctuary city.
Sanctuary. How come you never hear El Paso claiming sanctuary city and handing out $32 million to immigrants?
Yes.
You know?
No, El Paso, they're bringing in the National Guard. Man, we need some help, dude.
And El Paso's all people. They're all, they all come, their ancestry at least, you know, they're all related to these people. That's crazy.
Actual people from Mexico. Whatever's coming through the border right now, they're from the Middle East and China, man.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
So, the jihad is coming.
To coast, many states and cities placing limits on how long migrants can stay in emergency shelters. This week, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey signing into law a 9-month cap on migrant shelter stays, while also freeing up $426 million to aid in the ongoing crisis.
Dude, you get to stay for free for 9 months and we cut you checks? You get a debit card with your... What is happening here, man?
And if we have the money for that, I mean, then you should just be giving all of us a 9-month vacation.
I know, dude.
Right?
I gotta beg for a half day to go to a funeral in 2 weeks. Like, are you freaking kidding me, man? Are you kidding me?
I tell people I get a week paid, and it's, oh my God, you get a whole week?
I gotta go walk in there, just like, please don't dock my pay so I can go say goodbye to a dead friend. Is that cool with you? Man, fuck this country. It's unbelievable what we're doing here.
9 months. 9 months.
Yeah, man. And
that's crazy.
Don't forget to get your free code for your bank account we set up for you and vote Joe Biden.
You get the Joe Biden debit card.
You know, you might as well sign these migrants up for college because that's free too nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm paying for that too with my taxes.
No, you take the loan now. We'll pay it later. Don't worry.
We'll just write it off, right? Everything's just getting written off.
I don't think you know what a write-off is.
Neither do they, but they just write it off, man. Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. Just write it off. Come on, dude.
What are we doing here?
Getting all this money? Where are you getting all this money? No money for cops.
No, we can't hire more cops in Denver, but we're cutting checks to the migrants. We're giving them, multi-month stays. So I got more on this. We're going to start getting more localized with it here in the Denver region for our Colorado listeners and watchers. And I can't remember, again, if they dabble in the New York and Chicago, I can only assume.
This in the state.
We will change the structure of our current shelter system.
Denver, where officials say the migrant crisis has cost the city up to $70 million, will live.
Yeah, this guy.
70 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're not planting flowers this spring, right? We've cut back on the DMV. It's not open all the time now. And we are reducing the staffing levels of our fire department. You know what the fire department is, Denver? It's those guys who go around and they put out the fires. You know, when your building is on fire, it's so ridiculous to me. But let's cut the funding for those guys. We don't need a fire department. That's crazy, man.
No, we'll just give the immigrants red clothes and buckets. They'll be the fire department of the future.
It's crazy we're cutting funding for the fire department heading into a guaranteed summer of love. I promise we have some sort of summer of love. It's an election year. You have to have a summer of love. Some George Floyd situation will unfold, as Alex Jones predicted. And, you know, there will be all sorts of burning and looting and rioting. And, of course, we won't have enough cops or fire department.
They tried it here with that guy who they unloaded, like, 900 rounds into.
That's right.
The guy was in the car.
Yeah, that's
right. The mom was, like, crying, and they show the picture of him graduating 8th grade. And, you know, oh, he was so sweet and innocent. It turns out his magazine was empty, so he unloaded 20 rounds at these cops while they were shooting at him.
Dude. Again, it always kind of comes out, this feller kind of puts themselves in a situation where the guns start firing. You know what I mean? Like, most people aren't finding themselves in a situation where the cops are pulling out the weapons.
Except for that one guy who was in the back seat and an acorn fell on the car. And then the cop fired into the police car where the guy was handcuffed in the back seat.
Oh, man. That almost guarantees that the CIA now has drone-controlled squirrels. Right?
Dude, did you see that thing about like what they're doing to fight the drones? They're training hawks.
Oh, dude, everything again, Jenkos, they're coming back. Buy your Jenkos now. Everything comes back round and round and round, man.
You know, in like the Middle East, it's a real big thing. Like the hawk, what do they call it? The Hawketeers or whatever?
Well, the comic books have Hawkeye. Right?
No. Like the hawk, the bird, you know, those guys that like control them with the little, got the cute little hat goes on top of them.
Oh, does the hawk wear the hat?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
When they don't want them to fly, they land on the hand and then they put the hat on.
I didn't know that was part of the deal. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a little leather hat. Pretty cool. But they're training them. So like we send in these, you know, the smaller drones, these things are attacking them.
Their hawks are attacking our drones.
They're training the hawks to attack the drones.
See, this is incredible. That's why it's the story as old as time, right? The guerrilla warfare always wins over.
Yeah, because how many $2 million drones can you build when hawks are attacking? How much does a hawk cost?
The trick is to train an army of crows.
I know, that is the number one.
The crows, man. Whatever nation weaponizes crows, they're the ones that are going to rule the world.
Yeah, man, we got to get some crows.
Yeah, I would just want them to go shopping for me, you know.
All right, go find some jewelry, go find some coins.
Gold.
Bring me some gold.
Yeah, gold and silver.
I'll give you peanuts, you bring me gold. It's a fair trade. All the peanuts in the world. Yeah.
Dude.
Dude, you know what's crazy about this clip, right? The homeless?
Yeah, man.
So in Chicago, they're trying to use this. Dude, this is crazy. CPS schools, the public schools of Chicago, are going to start next year's budget $400 million in the hole.
Of course.
They're starting the year negative $400 million, which I don't even know how that's possible. Our money is not real at this point.
Absolutely.
$400 million. Yeah. You're still operating. And my whole argument is always, you have two schools, four blocks away from each other. They're both half empty. More than half empty. Put the schools together, right? Their argument is, no, we actually did try that so that we could use the schools to house the migrants.
Okay.
And what ended up happening is, the school that got consolidated, where they consolidated, it just turned into a gang war. So we can't consolidate the schools because it just erupts into gang violence. And so we're just going to spend $400 million that we don't have to keep these schools operating. It's like, dude, and then you're going to cut funding from the police to open up another migrant shelter. I mean, is anybody else not seeing the problem here? You need more cops, right? So that you can get rid of the gangs. And then you can consolidate the schools. And then you actually have the room for the migrants. Like, it all starts with more cops. Stop the violence. Stop the gangs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Literally that. And then businesses would move back in, giving you a larger tax revenue. Like, literally, just more cops is the only thing you need to just wipe away all these problems. But instead, you're cutting the funding from the police to give to the migrant. That's incredible.
Weird. It's a controlled demolition, it feels like, right?
Something's you're cutting off your nose despite your face. That's what it is, you know?
The migrant thing, still out of control here in Denver, as you can see. We're burning $70 million on it. And in order to mitigate that, like I've said, we are cutting back on funding for fire departments and police, and we are no longer hiring new recruits. We're just gonna stay the course, I guess, which is good stuff.
Why not?
A little more action here.
Limit any new arrivals to a 72-hour stay at city shelters. For the roughly 1,000 individuals already in the shelter system, they'll get placed in an apartment for 6 months and receive additional assistance.
No tenemos un hogar. No tenemos.
Here's another guy, and they don't really translate, so I will. He's complaining. He's not getting all the freebies that he was promised, and he's very ungrateful.
La ayuda, de verdad no tenemos la capacidad de.
He's like, hey, I'm here. I thought I was gonna get all this free stuff. What's the deal, man?
To be fair to this gentleman, he does look like he would be persecuted in a non-friendly LGBT country.
He's not supporting Hamas here. It looks like, and he says he genuinely says he's looking for a job. I'll take his word.
In New York City, after months of back and forth between city officials and advocates,
look at those migrants.
There's now a 30-day.
Look at
they're all African.
I know, man. It's crazy.
They're all African.
Yes.
And then the two people they interview are the Hispanic.
Yes, they go for the two Hispanic guys, and then they show you the wide view, and it's a bunch of black Africans.
It might raise suspicion when they interview this black guy who speaks French. You're like, wait a minute. Sounds like you come from one of those colonies over there.
Dude, there's something going on, man. There's a controlled situation here.
A limit on shelter stays for most migrants.
From day one, we said that we did not want people on the street.
But with policies repeatedly changing, many migrants could face a new reality of.
Yeah, Mike.
There's not a Hispanic in there.
No, dude.
Holy
so
shit.
Crazy looking, man. Like, come on. There's something seriously wrong here.
That is all Africans. They're all Africans. Holy cow.
These are Hispanic families, man. Come on.
Life under a.
They're from Ecuador or wherever.
Not I don't see one woman with children.
I know, dude.
These are all fighting age males from Africa.
As summer temperatures roll in.
All right, Stephen Romo, join.
All right, I'm going to cut it there. These guys aren't going to really give us any more info. That's all we needed to see. I wanted you to get the visual of how, you know, they're trying to tell you, oh, these poor families from Mexico.
That's literally like 10,000, like, young men from Africa. And then they're like, and now we're going to cut to the interview of the one Hispanic mother from El Salvador. You know? With the kids, like, what? And then you pan out. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. That's a rough-looking scene. And here in Colorado, we got the Venezuelans, they keep saying. So I've been kind of promoting the fact that we'll just have really good Venezuelan food here in the next year or so. Good food trucks. We got a food
truck.
They got
good food?
I don't know, but we'll find out. I'm sure we will find out how good Venezuelans either cook their own food or cook all the other food because they're just going to take over all the other jobs.
I forgot what country they said they were from. There was like this food truck, and they were really big on their not Mexican food. But then I ordered this thing, and it was a taco.
Yeah, like, right? Yeah, man.
You guys have tacos and burritos. Like, this is a Mexican food truck. I don't know. I forgot they said it was. Peruvian?
We've been going to this brewery down the street from where we live. It's no restaurant within it, but they have a food truck every day parked outside. And we're never disappointed. And the only disappointment I have expressed is we keep missing the day where the Greek Euro truck is there.
Wow.
I've been dying to get my hands on this Euro, man. But every time we're kind of able to swing over there for a meal, it's been some other institutions, but I have not been let down. You know, Asian, Mexican, we've hit up a, there's a sandwich truck that's there, a couple of bros who just crank out Phillies and what have you. Fantastic, man.
Dude, seriously, all of our food trucks are Mexican food. But that's, I like,
that is ideal for cooking. You know, you got the tortillas. They're cheap.
Few ingredients.
Yeah, you know, and you can actually mix and match the same ingredients and make like four different menu items.
Oh, yeah. Good call. But it's kind of like Italian food, but doesn't take as long to cook. Because like Italian food is the same thing. It's noodles and sauce. Throw a little meat, maybe some mushrooms, some beans. You know what I mean? Like the same shit.
All you have to do is change some ingredients in the sauce, and you got your, you know, it's a vodka sauce, or you got yourself a bolognese.
Alfredo. Yeah. You know? It's like, but it takes fucking, but then you got to put it in the oven for 45 minutes. I don't got time for that, you know?
That's right, man. That's why Mexican food, I believe, is the superior food. The melting pot of America is pretty much welcoming it. Full on now. Most new restaurant concepts are some sort of, you know, they're like Mexican fusion, Asian fusion, but they're all going with the, how can I get this food inside a tortilla?
Yeah, because it's cheap, it's easy, it's fast.
Easiest
if
way
I could
to,
only
yes.
eat one food my whole life, I'd be like, all right, I'll do Mexican.
I'll take a burrito. I could do a burrito of some sort, you know, because a burrito too, you can make like a salad, like a chicken salad wrap, but it's basically a burrito.
Right, right.
You know, it's fresh. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a burrito format. It's the greatest delivery system for food. I loved sandwiches as a younger man, but as I got older, you know, that bread kind of weighs you down a little bit, especially if you're a working man and you're on the job site and you got to stay light on your feet, right? You know, it's maybe a little bit better for you to take down the burrito and not an El Burrito. Because not the El Burrito. That's just,
come on.
That's half a cow of beef that you're consuming. You need at least a 30-minute time frame to take a nap after that bonanza.
The best, the most Chicago thing is John's Euros. When you go there, it's this Greek guy that opened up this restaurant, but it's only Mexicans that work the grill.
Genius.
Hispanics.
Yes.
And so what he has is the Euro Burrito. Fucking amazing.
See this right here. This is the Chicago synergy I'm talking all about, right? This harkens back to the day of the, I got this Italian beef, I got this Polish sausage. I'm going to stick them together and make the combo.
Stick them together.
Or it's an Italian sausage, right? Yeah,
it's
you
Italian
got, you
sausage.
Got the sausage. You got
to come back to Chicago, but you forgot your roots.
Well, no, I'm an Italian Polish, so I like to just try to combine the two automatically all the time.
I know, but you were born and raised in Chicago. Like, your mass, your body is like 80% Italian beef and sauce.
That's right, yeah. I'm also a Frank. Anyone named Frank, you cannot surpass 135 pounds. It's totally impossible. It's just a physical limitation with the name Frank. It just keeps you...
I don't know how it happens. They always stay skinny, all of them, to the day they die.
That's right, man.
Man.
The combo, I was never a fan of the combo, actually. I'm more of an all, I like the beef, mostly.
I had one on Monday. Good. From Portillo's?
Something about that. Yeah, the Portillo's, man. I've been really talking up the Portillo's out here. We're getting our own in Denver.
Oh, you're going to, we're going to watch Frank get fat.
I'm going to gain about 5 more pounds. That's my maximum limit. And it goes right to the cheeks, actually. It's just the cheeks expand.
They got a good combo. I like their combo. You throw that hot jardinera on there.
Oh, man. You know, when it comes to Portillo's, it's all about those cheese fries. They got that liquid, hot, gooey cheese. There's nothing natural about it. It is totally synthetic, created in a lab, made to make you obese.
I believe it's an oil byproduct from the refining process. But yeah, it's great.
The cheese whiz, man. Well, eat healthy now, or I'm sorry, eat, you know, not healthy, enjoy your food now, because the election is upon us, Mike, so we need the summer of love, we need some raging to go on, so some sort of dramatic event where they rage in the streets and burn down the cities and fight the cops, and then, of course, what do we need? Pandemic!
Bird flu.
Yeah, man, the bring it on, baby! They keep trying. Every few days, I like flip around the news and I'm like, oh, again? Still? You're trying to go a pandemic route? I don't think people are in, man. Nobody's down with the pandemic. Nobody's buying your bullshit anymore. Come on.
COVID was, you know, a fool me once situation, I believe.
I hope, right? I saw a clip going around in the X, formerly known as Twitter. And it was of a feller towards the end of COVID announcing the folks who are on the board and who run the CDC. And he reads their names off and follows the name of the person, like Raquel Walensky, that they have dual citizenship with Israel.
With Israel. Yeah, that is crazy.
And then they start to shut him up and they're like, you know, they start to get him to stop talking and... And they're like, what does this have to do with COVID? And he's like, well, I think you guys are starting to see. Are you guys not kind of seeing the connection here?
The space laser was down, so they had to go another route for 2020. You know?
That's right, man. We need the space vaccine. The vaccine.
They vaccinated everybody in Israel, remember? They were like forcing people to take four.
Yes,
three,
they
four
did.
Shots.
It was Israel and... To me, the most frightening place was Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
They built concentration camps. Now, they weren't concentration camps. They were camps where they would concentrate the unvaccinated.
The unvaccinated. FEMA camps for your safety. That's right. Where they would concentrate unvaccinated. Yeah.
And, boy, we are goldfish. And we have truly forgotten how scary COVID lockdowns were. We used the word draconian at the time because Nazism and, you know, fascist was just overplayed, and it still is, but, you know, that was the closest thing to us getting towards the Nazis having their concentration camps, and it was happening in Australia. It was crazy what they were doing.
And people were agreeing with it. That was what's scary. People in America agreeing that you should have passports to go into a restaurant.
Well, Australia is a place where you have to agree with what the government says because you don't have any guns.
They took your guns, yeah.
So you're outnumbered and you're outgunned.
So congratulations. There's no U-Hauls pulling up to an apartment building blasting people with machine guns. But then you got to listen to the government when they lock you in your house, you know?
So I got a twofer when it comes to COVID. I'm going to play a quick one for you, Mike, because 2024 is the year of everything gives you heart attacks except for the thing we forced you to take 4 years ago.
I know. Right? Except for the shot we forced everybody to take that has a side effect of heart disease. Like, no, that's the one thing that does not give you heart attack. It's actually too much sun without sunscreen for some reason. It's fasting, you know, things that people have done for millennia.
And it's cannabis use, right?
And
now, Mike, I thought this would apply to you, and, you know, your experience of driving every day through the streets of Chicago. Better watch yourself, pal. There's a new threat for all you heart attack victims.
A new study finds that episodes of anger can impair blood vessel function, which is an early sign of heart disease. ABC News medical correspondent.
Are you angry? Well, you're going to have a heart attack. It's not that experimental gene therapy we force you to take to keep your job. No, man, you're just too angry all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, but all the past generations were just as angry, and they didn't have heart attacks until their 60s. Yeah, but you're more angry. You're living in a time of Donald Trump.
We are spawns of an individual, a man who thrived and lived purely on rage for about 35 years. Like, literally, yeah. The man was just on a rage trajectory. And that's how you survived in Chicago throughout the last several decades. You had to be enraged to survive.
If you're not enraged, you're enraging the guy behind you. And just wait 5 minutes. The guy in front of you. The guy in front of you is about to piss you off, you know?
That's right. In Chicago, if you don't drive like an asshole, you, sir, are the asshole.
Are the asshole. Yes, we need to move.
I love this, man. You know, we come from a family of enraged Italians in Chicago. You don't get more hot-blooded than that.
Short fuse.
The blood is at perpetual boil.
I'm actually already mad. I'm just waiting for you to trigger it, to bring it out. You know what I mean? It's stored in there. Like the Hulk. I'm always angry, you know? That's how you learn to control it.
This peaceful state you see me in is my most uncomfortable. And I'm waiting for you to bring me into my comfort zone, please.
It's actually giving me anxiety. I feel like I could die at any moment because I'm not angry.
That's right. I always get that uneasy feeling. I'm like, something's not right. I'm not angry about something right now.
I almost smiled. <That's right>. I had to go outside and run into a Ukrainian. That'll piss me off. Put me right where I need to be.
Damn pumpkin heads. So I love it, man. We're about 5 months now into the year of 2024, and each month they have brought out a new reason why why Bronny James had a heart attack at age 18, right?
Do you drink water? Turns out water drinkers are having heart attacks.
I wait till October. That's where we're going to be like, oh, it's a well-known statistical fact that air causes heart attacks. If you're breathing air out there, you better calm it down, buddy.
Did you vote for anybody but Joe Biden? That causes heart attacks.
That's, right. That's right. Casting a vote for RFK Jr. is a well-known cause of heart attacks.
Happens to the best of us.
The truth is coming to light now, and we have actually upon the horizon Tony Fauci doing his live depositions or whatever for Congress. It kind of didn't make the spotlight or the headlines. Peter Daszak was actually being questioned last week. Did you see any of those?
No, I didn't even hear about
very
it.
Very theatrical, very entertaining. I didn't clip anything because it's kind of long-winded. We know what's going on here. We know what went on. Daszak and Fauci in cahoots with the three-letter agencies.
All right.
Nobody is going to go to jail. Nobody.
Oh, never.
Nobody
never.
Will be held accountable, never. But they need to start admitting that, yes, there are some issues with these vaccines. And I'd say we're a few months away from Jon Stewart coming out of the desk over there on late night.
I know. Before you play the clip, everybody remember, we started off 100% safe, 100% effective.
Good so call,
that's
my
where
man.
We started. And now, look where we're coming.
And now we have a brother of Captain Cuomo, the man who brought in the military naval ships to save all the people dying from COVID, Mr. Q-Tip himself, Chris Cuomo, out there admitting that he himself is a victim of vaccine injury from the COVID vaccine. And he's brought on this guy, and in fact, I'm going to just to preface this so people know what they're talking about. The fella that Cuomo brings onto his show there is this individual right here, Sean Barkovich, 54. We're seeing it now. This is real time truth being let out, right? New York Times, thousands believe COVID vaccines harmed them. Is anyone listening? So now we're there, right?
Yeah, we're there. Okay. It's coming.
letting it out. They're admitting it. And we need Mr. Q-Tip himself, Chris Cuomo, the Cuomo Bromo, to come out and kind of make it approachable, make it understandable. So I got a little bit here at the beginning, maybe fast forward towards the end. This is, to me, I didn't think we'd be here already, and I'm excited for it. But also, like I've said in the past, Mike, we both talked about this, the COVID vaccines, everything about it. It's the worst I told you so in the history of I told you so's.
Yeah.
So here we are.
New York Times released an article that's getting a lot of play that says that there are thousands of people who say they're still suffering side effects, they believe, from the vaccine, and that those have been ignored. Now, one of them is nurse practitioner Sean Barkovich. He says he got his first dose in 2020, had side effects. Just standing up sent his heart racing, stinging pain in his eyes, mouth, groin. Those have gotten a little bit better, but he still has what they call tinnitus. That's a ringing in the ears. We know that vaccines can have unintended consequences, aka side effects, but nobody's really talking about it because they're too afraid of blame and they just want it to go away. But the problem is people like Sean and me and millions of others who still have weird stuff with their blood work and their lives and their feelings, you know, physically, are not going away. Sean Barkovich joins us now. Sean, why do you believe it's the vaccine, and what has happened when you've tried to get clinical analysis of it or answers?
Why do I believe this? It's not a belief, it's a fact. And as soon as I was injured, 15, 20 minutes of my first dose, I had numbness tingling up and down my injected arm that over days spread to my face and my eyes. I went to see a neurologist. He ran some tests. He's like, well, this is all new. We don't know much about it, but the hospital is going to mandate it. You should get a second dose. And everything in my medical mind and in my bones was telling me no.
I anecdotally know some people who were forced by their doctors also, against their will, to take their shots. And they had confided in me saying, you know, hey, I didn't want to take it, but I took it.
It's crazy.
That's so crazy. That blows me away that you're trusting this person. And clearly now all of these doctors were getting money to force these people to take these shots, man. Same thing with Mounjaro and Ozempic. Why all of a sudden did your doctor tell you to stop watching what you eat and start exercising? He said, you know, just pump yourself with this pill or this shot, Ozempic.
Crazy.
Wild.
If you have a reaction after something, don't do it again. But the pressure was immense. And then 3 weeks rolled around, I got a second dose. And after that, everything blew up. I went from being a healthy, 100% healthy, fully functioning nurse to in a complete downward spiral of health. I had a myriad of symptoms.
Have you gotten any clarity from doctors or from the drug manufacturer putting out any information about what could happen as a side effect?
No, as a research nurse practitioner and somebody who worked on vaccine research, I thought after I was injured, there would be people to help me. I'm like, I'm in New York City. I will have there will be medical people ready to help me. There must be interest to find out what happened or what went wrong with me. I reached out to my political representatives. I reached out to the NIH, the CDC, the FDA. I got no answers. No one wanted to touch it. I got token responses back or no response. And so I went on a mission to research myself and help others.
What have you found out? And what do you see in your blood work?
So I sent, in the early days when I couldn't get answers here at home in America, I sent my blood over to Germany. And I had help with connecting with German scientists. They were more interested to help me than people here in my own country.
That's freaking crazy.
Yeah, that's insane. It's so sad. It's so sad, dude. Everybody in America is just bought, you know? You can't trust doctors. You can't trust media.
Cuomo, towards the end of it, talks about how he's going through his own kind of situation where he's having all this blood work done and going through these, like, you know, processes to clear out his system, but that's kind of what you and I talked about from day one when they were forcing these shots on us, man. They're talking mRNA technology. I don't think you can take out what they just put into you.
No, you never can. Once it's injected in you, either your body gets rid of it or it doesn't, you know?
People were so willing to accept this into their lives, and for me, the number one red flag was technology. I was never told, you should inject this technology into your body. And everyone's like, yeah, let's line up, baby. I'll take how many? What does this card say? I got to fill it out 5 times? Let's do it so I can eat a steak? Oh, yeah.
I just don't want to inject anything where you're like, no, it's a new product. We just make it. Well, did you make it fast? Made it at warp speed.
That's right, dude.
They raised a little bit of red flags, you know? 6 months?
Oh, man. I feel terrible for everybody. We know many people who clearly have suffered some issues health-wise from taking these shots. And
some won't admit it, but I think they know deep down it came from the vaccine.
Absolutely, you
know,
man.
A lot of cancers that spread very rapidly, you know.
That's right. Turbo cancers, people who are elderly dying, you know. Just percentages, though, right? This is what we've talked about from day one, which is it's not going to be out there and in front in your face and obvious. It's just going to be a slow kind of drip. And then maybe...
It's not everybody. You know, I'm sure some people are fine. I'm sure most people are fine.
That's right.
But you took the shot under the... they told you it was 100% safe and effective, nothing to worry about. So you really weren't informed enough to take the shot, which is crazy. Then they mandated. That's crazy. I'll never get over that. The mandate.
No, me neither, man. I lost my job at the time because of it. I was unwilling to go back to a place where they were very, you know, strict on the idea that you must show your validation, your paper, to be employed here. Ultimately, it was the Great Reset for me, as well as many other people, and maybe even culturally. It does seem like we've been in some sort of weird time warp since COVID occurred, since the lockdowns went down. And the new normal, well, maybe this is what the new normal is, right? We got the chemtrails every day in the skies, constant war. We're always on the lookout for a new virus that's going to sweep us through. I mean, this is the new normal, right, man? Just constant stress, constant insanity and chaos. And now the kids, right? The kids hate everything about this country now.
Yeah.
So,
we're ruining the world. We're ruining ourselves.
All right. Good times had by all,
so,
right, Mike?
So sad. So sad. It's crazy that Cuomo's out there now talking about it. Dude, you were one of the assholes on TV every night talking, pushing it. I can't stand listening to him on podcasts or anything where he's always talking about, like, you know, I've always maintained journalistic integrity.
Yeah, right.
Bullshit, dude. You did whatever the advertisers on your station said to do. Get the fuck out of here with that. You're not even a journalist.
Yeah, you're number two shill right underneath Travis Kelce.
Yeah, none of these journalists are real journalists. You're just a mouthpiece for the advertisers. That's all you
Absolutely,
are.
Absolutely, man. They're total freaking actors. So
you want to see real journalism, you got to go to Substack, you know, that's where you'll see people, whether you agree with or don't agree, you know, it's real, because if you're an anchor on CNN, I already know your fucking opinion on everything. I don't even need to read what you say. Right. But then you go on Substack, you got guys who you'd be surprised at the people, like, will talk about certain topics. You agree with them, even though you disagree with them about everything. You know,
I'm pretty
that's
sure
how you know they're being honest.
Substack, I think, is the place where people on a national level finally got the lowdown from Seymour Hersh on who actually bombed out the Nord Stream pipeline.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, that's real journalism. Yeah.
We didn't find that out in the New York Times, believe it or not. No, you had to go to Substack, right?
Morning Joe didn't talk about it. No, they got 9 people on this panel. That was the funniest picture, dude. Like 9 people. There's 2 white guys. One of them got caught jerking off on a news conference, on a on a conference call, right? And they're talking about racism in America. That's real journalism, MSNBC.
That's right.
Good job. Good job, MSNBC. Real journalism.
Well, you know what I'm loving right now is wild stuff unfolding before our eyes, and they just kind of breeze over it. Democracy Now! Is a place where they actually still report on certain things. And we're fortunate to have Amy Goodman here. I hope you're all thirsty. She's going to give us a quick lowdown and a sensational story that people just, I guess, aren't interested in talking about. We're just murdering people, man.
A former employee of Spirit AeroSystems who blew the whistle on the Boeing suppliers' manufacturing and quality control issues has died. 45-year-old Joshua Dean died of a sudden illness after he contracted an MRSA infection and pneumonia. Dean had accused his former employer, Spirit AeroSystems, of firing him in retaliation for speaking out against the company, including in a shareholder lawsuit last year. Spirit AeroSystems built the door panel that blew out of the Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 9 in January. Josh Dean's death comes 2 months after Boeing whistleblower John Barnett was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound shortly after giving evidence in
another one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys, whoever you are out there, whatever you want to blow the whistle on, don't do it with Boeing.
No.
They're going to kill you.
They literally make the airplanes. They could get you anywhere in the world. They don't...
Dude, you do not fuck with the military industrial complex, man.
They kill you. They will kill you.
Out in the freaking open. This one really blew my mind, actually. So I got that clip for us because just so we could hear it and, you know, feel it. And then you go check out the NPR article on it, man. And it's so crazy. So this guy who died now, this second Boeing whistleblower, he was described by his family as studious, honest, and a health nut, quote unquote, who rarely drank and attended church regularly. And this guy was just, you know, frequent exerciser and all that stuff. And so he goes in, he tests positive out of nowhere, right? He has to get rushed to the hospital, and he's tested for influenza B, MRSA, and pneumonia. And his lungs completely filled up. The doctors describe them as gumming up. And this is a guy who, again, the family insists, very healthy, someone who went to the gym, ran nearly every day, very careful about his diet. They're talking to the doctors. The doctors say, doctor said he'd never seen anything like it before in his life. His lungs were just totally gummed up and like a mesh over them. And they even said, we're not sure what he died of.
Right? No, no way.
We know that he had a bunch of viruses. Like, a health nut, a gym rat. Wow. He just suddenly comes down with every bacterial infection you can imagine suddenly, and they just, like, totally wreck his lungs. I don't know what they shot him with, but give me the heart attack gun.
Yeah.
Please. I'll take the heart attack gun.
I'll take the heart attack gun.
You know what I'm saying, man? Holy cow, dude. Whatever they fucking shot into this dude, no thank you.
Man.
And
what? That's got to be some kind of biological weapon they got from Ukraine or something.
Well, I was telling Emma about it, and she's an avid TikTok user these days, so she's almost more on board with these crazy cockamamie conspiracy theories than I am. And she was like, oh yeah, I heard they can aerosolize it, you know, like a spray. And she told me, they're like, oh, they have this thing on some show where they knock a guy out by when he smells a perfume. And I was like, damn, man, that's crazy.
Actually, doing a little investigation here, it turns out what they shot him with was that Travis Kelce double dose of the mRNA and the flu vaccine.
Two at the same time, man.
You could be just like the whistleblower from Boeing.
You get two at the same time, and then you nearly rip off your coach's head in a roid rage incident in the middle of the Super Bowl. Two at the same time!
Works great.
Oh, yeah, dude. The Boeing man. Like, we talked about the dude who, you know, just decided to blow his head off in the middle of a deposition where he was finally lifting the greatest weight off of his shoulders in his entire life, right? Just decides to just, you know, blast his brains out there. And then all of a sudden, this guy, Health Nut, comes down with a, not one mysterious illness. No, let's stick him with four different illnesses and just really wipe this guy out, man. Don't mess with the airlines.
Imagine that corporate meeting where they're like, we got to take this guy out. Yeah, but that last one was too obvious. I think they're on to us.
We can't
go with the two bullets to the head.
We can't shoot him again. And we're burned out on the erotic asphyxiation. All right, everybody stop believing that after that. Robin Williams. So, you know.
It's not working.
We're going to have to do some sort of illness. And we can't.
Sorry, I got an idea. We'll inject him with MERS. Can MERS tie the knot around the rope and shoot him in the head? Is that what you're just the virus. It'll kill him. Code his lung.
What? Next guy that blows the whistle on Boeing, he's going to get the plutonium doorknob treatment, yeah. Right? That's the next level. They go Putin on him.
Hey, yeah. Every leader kills people. That's crazy. Boeing, man. How powerful are you?
But we have to stop trashing Putin.
We're
openly talking about, we have a guy running for president who's saying the government killed my dad and my uncle.
And they're probably going to kill him. That's why they won't give him
And they're sure. most likely going to kill him.
They're going to kill him. Closer we get.
Yes, they are going to kill him. You
know? That's why I disagree with Alex Jones. I don't think they can kill Trump. I think that would be too hard to contain the backlash.
I believe they would kill Trump to ignite the Civil War.
Yeah. But Kennedy, that could just help you win the election. Plus, we haven't had a dead Kennedy in a few decades.
We're due. We could use one dead Kennedy for this generation.
And he's the only one that doesn't look inbred. I can tell from that commercial.
It's so on the nose, though. If we killed another Kennedy, man,
we're just back in time to the 60s. We're killing Kennedys. We're trying to get to the moon.
And, that's right. We're basically in another Vietnam at this point. Over in Ukraine, right? We're just funneling money and stoking this war that we don't even know. Eventually, we're going to have to draft people to go into Ukraine.
I don't know.
They want it. Dude, they keep talking about it over there in Europe. The big push is to make Ukraine NATO, and then we got to go into Ukraine.
Why? What do we have to gain from making Ukraine NATO?
It's all about money, man, and we got to do the Great Reset.
They're the most corrupt country. One of the most corrupt countries in Europe.
I know, but we already lost Sam Bankman-Fried. We got to funnel money somehow, yeah, right? Yeah. There's got to be a way we can launder our billions of dollars, man.
I see the plan. You're right.
Well, time will tell. And Mike, believe it or not, sir, there is no doubt about it. This is the fastest hour or two in the universe. do you have a parting jam for us to head on out? And or, sir, some parting words?
I just have a song if you're ready for it.
I'm always ready. Folks, thanks for listening and tuning in and joining us live here on Rumble. And to our Chinese overlords, we can't be bought in yen. Hiroshima, we so sorry.
We love the CCP.
Until next time, folks, we'll be back Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday.